Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
You know, we all are aware of dangers outside our front doors, aren't we? We have to close our doors in order to keep danger out. And speaking about danger, I read about a family from Corpus Christi in Texas in 2017, where sadly their house caught alight and everyone perished except the daughter. Alexis King is her name. She survived only because she slept with her bedroom door closed, and that kept her safe from the fire and it saved her life. Isn't that amazing? I remember when we still lived in Cape Town, and in the 80s, we Cape Townians, and we were expecting a very important guest to our home. We still had at the time Pastor Nicholas Bengu, who was the chairman of the Assemblies of God, and he had sent his son to pay us a visit with a few other guests who came to our house. And as the younger Mr. Bengu arrived at our home, we didn't realize that an uninvited guest had just walked in with the guests and came into our home. And so we asked Mr. Bengu, we said, "And who is your friend?" And he said, "He's not with me. I thought he's with you." And we said, "No." And then we asked him and we said, "Why did you come into our home?" And he said, "Well, I saw this gentleman," pointing to Mr. Bengu, "come into your house, and I thought I'll just follow him and see what's going on in your house." Of course, we had business to do, and we asked him to leave kindly. We shut the door. And we got on with our business. And I've entitled the message this morning, "Shut the Door." As we enter the new year, I want to encourage all of us to shut the door on certain things that presents itself to us. Amen? You know, God can do his work in us and for us when we shut certain doors in our lives. And you know, God works behind closed doors. And ultimately, God wants what is best for us. I want to read a portion of scripture from 2 Kings chapter 4 from verse 1, because we see an amazing picture of what happened when a woman shut the door. It says, "A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves.' So Elisha said to her, 'What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?' And she said, 'Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil.' Then he said, 'Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into those vessels and set aside the full ones.' So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, 'Bring me another vessel.' And he said to her, 'There is not another vessel.' So the oil ceased. Then she came to and told the man of God, and he said, 'Go sell the oil and pay your debt, and your sons will live on the rest.'" Now, perhaps you have come to this meeting this morning, and you've come into the new year with a mountain of debt. I don't know you. I don't know where you're standing with finances, but, you know, you have lack. You have lack in your life. And maybe it's not through your own fault. Maybe it's absolutely not your own fault. It's just circumstances that mounted up. Maybe you did lack wisdom. But you know what? You say to God this morning, "You know, Lord, I've been faithful to you. Like this widow's husband, I have remained faithful. I've remained loyal. I have served you, but now I am in lack. I don't know if that's your story, but you know, We had that story earlier in our ministry right here at Sandton. We moved up from Cape Town. Things were a lot more expensive up here. There was only one very small salary that my husband earned. I didn't earn a salary. And in those days, he was very keen to remain studying and to be reading and to purchase resources, and he didn't have an allowance for that. So in order for us to make ends meet, he used to work on leather things, which he used to do when he was in business. So we know what it feels like to have a financial problem in our lives, to be in a financial low. And, you know, we were counting every cent in those days. And we tried not to look at what we had, what we didn't have. We tried not to look what we didn't have. We looked at what we did have, like the widow. Pastor Andre worked on his every day off, every Monday. He would work in a little workshop that he put together at our house, and he made handbags to sell so that we could make ends meet. Like the widow, there were steps we took. Maybe we didn't have to go and fetch jars, but there are things that God will tell us to do, what is in our hands. Amen. And so I just want to look at four things this morning, what it means practically to shut the door. The first thought is shut out natural and negative voices. You know, when you're in a position of lack, when you're in a bad place financially, don't let the whole world know what's going on. You know, don't tell everyone your business. Don't hint and hope that people are going to feel sorry for you. Go to your source. Shut the door and go to God. Amen. It's very important what voices we listen to this year if we want to see breakthroughs in our lives. You know, there are people we simply should not be taking advice from. Am I correct? There are voices out there that we shouldn't be listening to. In our personal financial situation as a family, we had to shut out our own natural voices, like, let's just quit ministry, let's just go back to Cape Town, and let's just continue with business. This is just too hard. And you know, we had friends and family urging us to quit. And we had to shut out negative voices. From the community, I didn't have a car. I used to drive this beaten up Nissan pickup, and it wasn't becoming of a Sandton person to drive a battered car, saying you're the pastor of the church on corner of South and Middle Road in Sandton. And I took it on the chin, because I was grateful to God that he had provided what may not have looked like a BMW or a Mercedes-Benz. And, you know, I would take Simi, my daughter, to ballet, or I'd fetch my kids from school, and, you know, other moms would say, that, is that your car? So I had to shut out natural and negative voices in our difficult situation. And I believe that is why Elisha told the widow to shut the door, because in so doing, she could shut out the voices, natural and negative, and she could shut out people's opinions. Because you can't imagine if she had to go running to Auntie Martha and say, you will never believe what the prophet told me now. I've got to go and fetch jars, and I've got to go and fill it. You know, no. She did nothing like that. She didn't open the door to negativity and natural voices. She shut the door. Okay, she'd not even question, how is it going to be possible? There's no conversation other than what he told her to do that took place in the story. She shut everything out. You know, there will be times where people around us and our situations are not really concerned about our situations. Look at my age, I can tell you. There will be times. There'll be times, you know, the enemy will use people like that to create doubt in our mind by the voices and the negativity that comes. And look at the country, you know, this is not the time. We shut out those voices. You have a God, you have a Father in heaven who wants the best for you and who loves you, and he'll make a way where there does not even seem to be a way. Now, often it's the spectators around our situation that will attempt to discourage us in some way by trying to bring up our past mistakes and our failures and our shortcomings. Just remember that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. Isn't that the truth? And you know, when we are given the seed of God's word, Pastor Andre recently spoke about the rhema word. It is the spoken word. When you receive a spoken word, this woman received a spoken word. It is a seed that the enemy would want to come and steal away from us. And we must not allow that. Amen? We must shut the door. You know, it says of Mary, the mother of Jesus, when the angel appeared to her and spoke about the future of her son, the Savior of the world, it says that she hid these things in her heart. She hid these things in her heart. She did not open the door for discussion. She shut the door on the matter. Amen. So we need to shut out natural and negative voices. Are you alive in Kailami? Number two, shut out fear and shut in faith. When you are in dire straits, shut out fear and shut in faith. Just think about it. The woman was going to lose everything, including her sons. But she shut out fear. How did she shut out fear? By going to God, who spoke to her through the man of God. Amen. She ran to God, her strong tower. The bank is not our strong tower. Our older sister is not our strong tower. Our uncle is not our strong tower who has the bucks. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Amen. He is our strong tower. And I love the story of this woman. She has taught me so much. And, you know, I really believe that God wants to magnify his goodness through our lack, always. When there's lack, he wants to show his greatness and his goodness. Picture it. The widow had only a little oil. That's all she had. The creditor had taken everything. The table, the chairs, the beds, everything was gone. That's all she had in the house was a little bit of an anointing oil. And they were about to take her boys away. And she put her faith in God. And I have a few thoughts under this point that when you shut in faith, little becomes much. Small becomes big. Empty becomes full. Poverty becomes prosperity. Hopelessness is turned into hope. Isn't that beautiful? That is her story. This can be your story. God loves you. He cares about you. And you need to run to your strong tower. You know, one of our personal breakthroughs came when a young businessman in our church that we never discussed this with anybody, what we did. It just came, you know, out. It just filtered out. And people knew what was happening with Pastor Andre working every Monday. And he was this young guy, and he came and he had an envelope full of, at the beginning of the 1 year, full of 12 post-dated checks. And Pastor Andre said, no, thank you, sorry, I'm sorry, I can't receive that. I do earn a salary. And he said, well, clearly, you don't earn enough. And I tell you the reason for why I want you to have this is God told me, number one, to give it to you, bless you with this for a year, because you need to put down your tools and pick up the word of God and just focus on the ministry. And so the thing is, you know, your story will be different to my story. My story is different to the widow's story. But I want you to shut out fear and to shut in faith. Third thought is shut out disobedience in shut in obedience. Shut out disobedience. Aren't you tired of hearing this? Well, we hear it, but we don't actually do it. You see, the widow obeyed God's instructions 100%. Did you see that? You know, we see Elisha tell the woman after she got the jars, now go and shut the door. And that is when the oil started flowing. When you shut the door, that is when the miracle begins to take place. When you shut the door on voices, when you shut the door on disobedience, when you shut the door on everything else out there and you shut yourself in with God, that is when the miracle begins to happen. You know, if we want to see a turnaround, we need to obey instructions. You know, often people come for counsel, and the pastoral team will know we did this for years and years and years. And people come with their financial difficulties, with their marital difficulties, whatever difficulties it is. And it's always a privilege and an honor to help people. We are about helping people and glorifying God as a church. Amen. But the reality is, they don't take the advice. And they disobey the advice. But they're actually disobeying God's word. And you know, today, people want us to rewrite the Bible to suit their lifestyle. That's never going to happen. That's never going to happen. You know, people come with the same story. Did God really say? Or where does it say that? You know, when I was preparing this, I got a little bit nasty in my spirit about this point, you know. And I thought, Lord, help me. I mustn't be like that. I must be kind. But I just want to kindly say, if you want to know where it says, do what I had to do. Don't let me do your work for you. You know, if you're serious about God and the things of God, it will show. And you won't ask silly questions because you're embarrassing yourself. Amen? And God doesn't want you to embarrass yourself. Go and seek God. Go seek His word. And yeah. So this is what the woman did. She obeyed, the oil flowed, she paid her debts, she kept her sons, she lived off the rest, and those are the rewards of obedience. Amen? So let us be hearers of God's word this morning. Let us be hearers and not only, and doers, but not only hearers. So it's important, otherwise there won't be breakthroughs, there won't be fruitfulness. Amen? If we only hear, but we do not do what the word says, there will be no fruitfulness. Number four, shut out loud voices of unbelief. Shut up loud voices of unbelief. Have you noticed that the church, Christianity, is under major attack? Have you noticed? Social media, the news, everything is a great discouragement to me. I'm really like wanting to turn all of this stuff down because there's only so much one person can take. Amen? Because we are bombarded about our beliefs. And we must be able to discern that we're living in the last days and we're living in times where the attack is on. And we may feel they're attacking us, but they're attacking our God in heaven. That's really who the war is against. Amen. And so on one occasion in the book of Mark, Jesus was asked to heal the daughter of a synagogue ruler. But you may remember the time when Jesus went to his hometown, and it says he could do no great miracle there because of their unbelief. And so here comes an occasion for Jesus to do something amazing, as we're going to read in a moment, and we see how Jesus handled unbelief. You see, this is how we must handle unbelief. Mark 5:35, this is Jesus. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid. Only believe." And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw the tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, is another way of saying when he had put them outside and shut the door, basically. He took the father and the mother of the child because they were desperate and they were believing. They weren't in unbelief, right? They wanted the best for their child. So he took the father and mother of the child and those who were with him, also very selective, those who went with him, and he entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumi," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. Now, if we want to see dead things come to life, or we need a breakthrough of some type, or deliverance, we are going to have to shut the door and turn off the loud noises of unbelief and popular opinion. We're going to have to turn off the loud noises. Jesus did not argue with these people. He just shut the door on them and got on with what he was doing. Jesus knew that in order for God to do his business, he had to shut the door on doubt, unbelief, and mockers. The same as Elisha in the same chapter that I read from 2 Kings, the Shunammite woman's son died, and it says he closed the door, and that child was also raised back to life. And we need to do the same when we need God to bring life back into our dreams, our marriages, our finances, or for whatever you are believing God for. You know, Jesus taught on prayer as I come to a close and spoke about the importance of shutting the door. Matthew 6, verse 5, it says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." You know, the context of that passage is about giving in secret and about praying in secret, because Jesus was basically teaching the people to not be hypocrites and put on a show. Don't put on a show. Don't put on an act. Then when you come home, there's no intimacy with God. There's no relationship with God. It's all about in a building. It's all about in an outside open air kind of meeting. It's, you know, don't put on a show. Don't rely on public prayer and worship at church, and then when you come home, as I said, there's absolutely nothing. It is with the shut door, not driving in the car, saying a quick SOS to the Lord, or in the loo for that matter, where God reveals his secret things to us. You know, God wants to reveal the secret things to us. The secret things belong to the Lord, and he wants to reveal the secret things to us. It's in the secret place where he illuminates his truth and his heart to us. That is where we get to know him. That is why reading consecutively, reading the one-year Bible or whatever plan that you can find, be in God's word. You get to know God. Be in his presence. Shut the door on distractions, on TV, on social media, on your phone, on everything. And just spend time with God. In closing, I was reading about a story of a man. And this must have been many, many years ago, because you just don't get these particular items that he stepped into in America anymore. It says, one evening a man was visiting the United States. One evening a man who was visiting the United States wanted to make a telephone call. He entered a phone booth, but found it to be different from those in his own country. It was beginning to get dark, so he had difficulty finding the number in the directory. He noticed that there was a light in the ceiling, but he didn't know how to turn it on. As he tried again to find the number in the fading twilight, passers-by noted his plight and said, "Sir, if you want the light, turn the light on, you have to shut the door." To the visitor's amazement and satisfaction, when he closed the door, the booth was filled with light, and he soon located the number and completed the call. Now, when I read that, I thought to myself, when we shut ourselves away with God, when we shut the door, the lights go on. When we shut the door, everything falls into place. Everything makes sense. Maybe not everything, but a lot of things we have questions about makes sense. That is why asking questions about where is it written, where is it written, go shut the door. Let the lights come on. Amen. So in a similar way, when we shut the door and we draw aside to a quiet place to pray, we must block out our busy world and open our hearts to the Father. We step out of darkness and confusion and allow God to illuminate his truths and his heart to us. You know, we will enter into communion with God, and we will sense his presence. Practice the presence of God. Practice the presence of Jesus. Don't wait just for church. I love church. I'm happy to be back in church. But this is not all it's about. Amen? We will sense his presence, and we will be assured of his deliverance and provision for us. So this year, let's be vigilant to shut the door on anything that will take us off course. And at this point in time, I just want to hand over to Pastor Devon at our Rivers Kailami campus. You know, I prayed beforehand while I was preparing this message, and I believed God to illuminate to us right here in the service what doors we are responsible for this year to shut on our lives. You know, what door of addiction perhaps? I'm not here to point fingers. You know, the beautiful thing about Elisha, when the widow went to him, he didn't give her a lecture about how did this happen? How did the man of God find himself in so much debt? He did not do that. He just handled the situation. It is what it is, amen? And we this year, if we want to go forward in 2020 in fruitfulness, in breakthrough, in intimacy with God, there are things we're going to have to shut the door on. And maybe some of those things are addictions. Maybe it's easier said than done, but find a way to get help. That's the beginning of putting your hand on the doorknob to shut the door. Amen. And so perhaps it's a door of hatred and prejudice. There's still too much of that in our country. Too much, too much, too much. Shut the door on prejudice, on hatred. Amen. We've got to do that. It's unbiblical. It's ungodly. We cannot be children of God and have hatred in our hearts. Unforgiveness. Forgive. Shut the door on unforgiveness. Shut in forgiveness in your heart. Amen. Maybe it's irresponsibility. Maybe it's laziness. Get off your butt and do something in 2020. Amen. Shut the door on laziness.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.